Many of you might be familiar with the comedians Key and Peele. A few years ago, they did a sketch on their comedy show in which Jordan Peele played President Obama. And he would give a speech, say a line from a speech, from the Oval Office as though the president were really talking. And then Keegan-Michael Key would come behind him as Luther, Obama's anger translator, and say what the president really meant. It was pretty funny, and you could Google it and probably get a few laughs. But as we are coming to the close of our Spirituality in the Wild series, I was thinking we really need to talk about anger. And even better, to have a conversation with our anger. And so today, I decided instead of an anger translator, I would just bring in my own anger and let him speak for himself. This is taking forever. Get on with it. Many people wonder about our anger. What are we supposed to do with you, especially Christians? And we all have to admit, you've gotten us into trouble a few times. You're not exactly the most rational part of us. Rational? I don't live in the rational part of the brain, and I certainly don't consult it before doing my job. I'm pretty sure it's the rational part of the brain's job to come up with a justification for whatever I do. Well, that may often be how it works, but I'm not sure it was the best idea to have me yelling at that hanging plant that I banged my head on for the 100th time this morning. And I'm not sure it was the table's fault that I stubbed my toe on it the other day. Ah, that little wooden. Point is, you don't come from the rational part of our brain. That's not the neighborhood you live in. Of course, I come out when no one's paying attention to all your polite and logical and rational ideas. There's no time to consult or think when you're being attacked by a bear. Or someone on the internet you disagree with? I think you made a good point somewhere in there. It's true that anger has a very important place in our lives. And it's really a problem that many Christians, for many Christians and followers of Jesus, our relationship with anger is basically putting all of our energy towards either suppressing it or feeling guilty that it's there at all. Yeah, being ignored gets me really riled up. I don't like being silenced. I will find a way to come out somehow. But I don't really see what I have to do with Jesus. Okay, well, let's talk about that. And I wanted to talk about Paul's letter to the Ephesians today because there's a great verse in there, but I want to put it into context. Because in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul has spent really the first three chapters talking about all the ways that God is bringing all of creation to reconciliation and to renewal in Christ. And then in chapter 4, Paul starts to say, well, what does that mean for us? What does it look like for us to live in this reality where all things are coming to their completion in the risen Christ? And here's what we read, starting in verse 20. That is not the way you learned Christ, for surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. The word of the Lord. And so in this text, we see that when Paul talks about putting on our new self, anger is included there. That verse, be angry, but do not sin. Some translate, in your anger, do not sin. But the key is that anger is there, and it's not necessarily wrong or bad. And I think what's important for us as we read this text is that when we experience anger, what we need to do is to pause for just a moment. I hate pausing. Well, hold on. We're pausing so that we can listen to our anger. Oh. If you remember back a few weeks ago, we talked about these Kairos moments, these moments where heaven breaks in. The Kairos moment can be anything in our lives. And one of the places where we can find really a fruitful experience of the inbreaking of God is when we experience anger and when we actually pause to listen to it and hear what it has to say to us. Anger can alert us to something that God wants to do within us or with us in the world. Okay. And so in our moments of anger, it's a time to have conversation with God and with the anger that's coming, boiling up in us or coming out of us. I like when you pay attention to me. I have important stuff to say. Yes, you do. You help us to enter into a times of discernment, of spiritual growth. If we pause, we can ask, what is my anger trying to tell me? And it could be saying a lot of things. One of the things our anger tries to tell us is that we're being threatened. Right, I'm just trying to protect you. Yeah, except we're not always being threatened. There are a lot of people who get a lot of money out of stirring up our anger and trying to get us to channel that anger into hating other people. Dwight D. Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex, for instance. That there's a lot of people who profit when we are hateful and move towards war with other countries. Or, really, partisan politics these days is really built on this. How angry can we get our people at the other side? In fact, I don't usually do this, but was listening to talk radio for just a few minutes the other day. Talk radio hosts have every interest in riling up and stirring up anger in their listeners. They're all trying to use our anger for their purposes and profits. You're telling me I'm being used? Now that really gets me going. And it should. Now, anger also might be trying to get our attention when something we believe about ourselves, something we've invested in, something we love, something we value, or our personal and tribal stories that bring us meaning and help us to understand ourselves are being challenged. It can feel like an attack on us in our deepest being. Oh yeah, nobody better hate on Jesus, America, or The Ohio State University. One of the things I've noticed a lot these days as well as we have conversation with our anger is that I think a lot of times our anger comes out when something or someone forces us to confront something painful or difficult or uncomfortable about ourselves and about our world. I think right now anger is being overused and overworked. Sometimes we go to it when we're really sad or disappointed. There's something about the world that just isn't the way we wish it were. And instead of just being sad and sitting with that sometimes when there's nothing we can do, when it's just kind of how it is, we transfer it to anger and blame and send it out into the world towards others. I have been feeling pretty tired lately. Oftentimes, anger arises simply because we are not getting our way. Someone or something is standing between me and my hopes, my dreams, or just my comfort. And this can be big or small. It might just be a kid blocking my view of the TV when I want to watch the game. Or it might be something bigger, like I got rejected from my dream job or outbid on my dream house. Are you saying I'm selfish? I'm just trying to get for you what you want. It's your desire, not mine. That's true. The problem is not our anger. The question is, what are we really desiring and how is that being blocked in our lives right now? But there are other times when our anger comes out because we are bearing witness to injustice or corruption or innocent suffering. We even see God getting angry in those cases too. And that's why we can't just reject anger out of hand and say it's a bad thing. Yes! So that's where discernment comes in. In fact, that verse we read from Ephesians comes from back in Psalm 4. And I want to read a little bit of Psalm 4 with you this morning because it's really instructive. The psalmist writes, "Answer me when I call, O God. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." And then in verse 4, it says, "When you are disturbed or agitated," or that some word can sometimes be used for anger. It's really a picture of shaking. So when you're really agitated, when you're shaking, when something is riled up and stirred up within you, do not sin. And the psalmist then says, "Ponder it on your beds and be silent." Ponder it on your beds and be silent. He goes on to say, "Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when the grain and wine abound. So I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.'" What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, when I'm shaking, when I'm angry, when I'm disturbed, when I'm riled up, that's the time to pause and pay attention and talk to God and bring it to God. So our anger can be saying a lot of things. And here, God is saying, search it, inquire, ask questions, get in a place of rest and stillness, and let's sort this out. At least we're talking. At least God is listening. Exactly. It's up to our rational brains and our bodies and the Spirit of Christ inside of us to listen and respond in healthy and loving ways when we feel angry. Huh. And so there's a few ways, a few responses that might take in us. We might find, after some deep reflection and looking at where our anger is coming from, that this is a time to release. A lot of times anger makes us want to hold and cling tightly to something. This might be a time to release it. This might be a time where I'm just not getting my own way, and it's okay that I'm not getting my own way. Or maybe the person who's kind of in my way in this moment, they're just trying to get by too, just like me. And so this is a time where I can practice forgiveness and say there are more valuable things in this moment than me getting what I want. And what I need to do is adjust my desires and release whatever it is my anger is making me feel is being threatened in me. We might also realize that this is a time to repent. This is the harder one. This might take a longer time to discern. Our anger might be alerting us to the fact that our identity and our values are misaligned. Like, what is it that's making us angry, and why is it making us angry in this moment? It could be that my anger is showing me the unhealthy attachments that I have to things of this world in my soul. And it's a time then to recenter my identity in Jesus and the love of God for all creation, for all people. It might be a time for me to listen to someone with a different perspective or learn to think in a new way, something that I never thought before. And that may challenge my sense of who I am and my identity and my story and my tribe and my people. But it's of God, and it's a good thing. And so this is a time for us to then repent. Fine, you're saying it's not my fault. I'm just showing you what your heart is really after. But what about all the terrible things that happen? Are you just going to ignore them and do nothing? Yes, thanks for bringing that up. I wanted to bring up another verse about anger from the book of James. And this is in chapter 1. And it says in verse 19, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce the Lord's righteousness." James isn't saying anger doesn't have a place. Anger can alert us to things that are desperately wrong in us and in the world, to injustice and the mistreatment of the vulnerable. But anger isn't the tool for building the kingdom of God on earth, because we all know that when we just unleash our anger, it can wreak some havoc. Yeah, I suppose yelling at that hanging plant didn't really fix much. And that hole in the wall? Well, never mind. Exactly. As we bring our anger to God, the Spirit can take the powerful energy that anger creates, aw shucks, and harness it with love that can then be applied into the world in redemptive, healing, constructive action. Anger is an important part of the process of changing the world. So I can be a part of Jesus' work? Yes, it's just not the only part. And the energy that anger produces is simply not an energy we want to just unleash in its raw form out into the world if we're really seeking to join God in creating the kind of world that is being created in Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus. Huh. Why have I never been told this before? Okay, thanks for joining us today, anger. Friends, remember that God's anger is always a function of divine love. It's always a function of God's desire that for the humanity's wholeness. It is right and good for us to join God then in being angry at those things that keep us from experiencing love and flourishing as God desires for all creation. And it is of utmost importance that we don't try to suppress our anger, pretend like it's not there, or feel guilty about it, but that we pay attention to our anger. Take it to God. Discern where it's coming from deep inside of us and allow God to harness that energy to do the work of love in us and in the world around us. Thanks be to God that divine anger always burns toward the removal of sin and corruption and injustice, because divine love is always burning for us, you and me, all people, and all creation. May this be true for us as well.